Looking for a standard survival Minecraft realm without all the drama? Check out the 77combined.com and see what you've been missing.
It's Friday night, and that can mean only one thing. You're tuned in to the 77th Combine's Cocktail Hour. A weekly show from your favorite Minecraft Bedrock Edition realm, the 77th Combine. We'll discuss current events on the realm, take a look at the latest news from Mojang, and have a grand old time with your favorite players from the realm. And now, your host. Don't let his tongue-tiedness fool you. He really is a semi-decent player. It's J.R. Tazel. And now, the 77th Combine's Cocktail Hour.
Thank you, Captain Monkeyfeet. And this is Tazel coming in from the Tazelverse Studios.
And I'm Jake, coming from the Pokemon Center, the Eevee.
And this is Spike Beard coming from the Vancouver Island on my big comfy couch.
Thank you, Spike, for joining us here for the news and the headlines here. We are going to be covering the items from this week for Friday, July 6th, 2018. This is the 77th Cocktail Hour. And first, we're going to have to go through some news and some headlines before we get to our main conversation, which is going to be UHC, what that is, how to sort of set that up, all the different sort of ways we can go about playing it. But as I said, first, let's get to the news from around Minecraft and the 77th Combine.
From the 77th Combine newsroom, this is a Cocktail Hour special report.
Hey guys, we have one new member that's currently going through our application process. Please welcome Mrs. Tazel to band. And we also invited AJC to the realm. So welcome to you. We also have one new returning member, CJ Kid 56. He originally joined us back in season two. He had to leave for some school, but he's back again. So everybody keep getting to know everybody, chatting and asking everybody the questions so we can get to know you and see if you're a good fit for us.
Yes, and that is indeed my Mrs. Tazel. That's
Mrs. There. Tazel.
Yeah. Finally got her into the Minecraft stuff.
And city limits will be lifted as of Sunday morning. We've previously had a 2-3 city limit per player to allow everyone to get a city. But now a week later, that will be lifted. Check the calendar for your local time as when this will be happening.
Yes, I'm sure Corin will miss all those exploration for other people profiting from it. So the 77th is now officially on iTunes and Feedburner. You can check out the links to subscribe to your favorite podcaster in the show notes. You can also leave reviews and ratings via iTunes if you are so inclined. Individual episode comments should still be done via the website, but this gives you another way to subscribe and not have to worry about going to the website in order to get the most recent episodes. So that was from news around the 77th. Now let's check in on the Minecraft world. Okay, so there hasn't been any new releases this week just because of the holiday that's going on, so a lot of people were taking off, no new builds, no new releases, but that doesn't necessarily mean there wasn't any news about the releases. Last Friday's live stream, Matt had to say this about the release.
But things are moving. 1.5 is in certification. That doesn't really mean anything, though. It could be, 2 weeks from now, it could be 2 months.
So as you heard him say there, the certification, aka submitting the different builds for the iOS store, the Google Play store, the Xbox Live, the Nintendo store, all the Windows 10, all that sort of places have now been all submitted. So as long as it gets through the certification process, we will be getting our new 1.5 update pretty soon. But it could be next week. It could be a month from now. And they also mentioned they were a little worried about some of the things, but hopefully we will be seeing that 1.5 shortly.
And just reminder, that is for Java, not Bedrock.
No, 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 right? 1.5 for Bedrock has been submitted. Oh. Java is the pre-release. They did all the different pre. There were no pre-releases for Java either this week. But they it sounds like they're going to release that pretty soon for Java as well. But yeah, this is
just bug fixes.
Yeah, just bug fixes. So. The certification specifically refers to the Bedrock realms. For the PlayStation 4 people, apparently they are holding off on releasing the PlayStation 4 aquatic update, just so that is also in line with all the other Bedrock releases. But they also, too, have it ready for release.
Okay. Well, there's in update news, there's a rather humorous takeover on the Minecraft website on introducing the newest mob in the Minecraft family, the Drowned.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jake, you better get your skinny dipping done before they all show up, hey?
I should.
there's also a brand new page for everything aquatic over at the Minecraft site. It covers the new mobs, items, biomes, skins, and real life coral, tons of stuff. If you want to know anything about the full aquatic update, go check it out.
Yeah, this is all stuff they've released previously, but they have it all in one place now to make your aquatic life stuff all the better. There's also a new marketplace page that covers all things marketplace-y-ish. Previously, the marketplace was only accessible inside the game, but now you can use your web browser to view it and explore all the Minecraft skins, worlds, and mashups whenever you want.
But now you don't have to be on your Xbox to buy stuff.
No. Actually, I don't know. I don't think you can buy it on the website. I think you can only view it, and then it'll bring you to whatever you're on. So if you're on a Windows machine, it'll bring you there. If you're on iOS, it'll redirect you to the Minecraft store if you're in the app itself. But I think you can still view and explore and see all the new stuff.
Maybe they plan on adding that in the future.
Maybe.
Well, it's the end of the month, though. That means Minecraft team is reviewing their favorite picks June 2018 from the marketplace. We have some choices like the Dwarven Mining Company by Game Mode 1, an exploration map full of precious ores, shiny loot, and high-tech machinery. We have Logic Zero by Everbloom Studios, a tricky puzzle game designed to teach you how to think like a programmer 50 level. And we have Dragon Rush by Razzleberries, a run mini game where the course is randomly generated. It gives you advantages while you try to outrun the energy from eating you. And remarkably, I could pronounce all of these names.
For the first time in what, a month?
I was thinking that too. So there are a number of creative builds, mashups, and worlds that Mojang is showcasing. This week you can read and see about Remarkable Rockets by Philip and Lost in Space, which is a creative 11-to-1 larger than life recreation of the space shuttle Discovery. That sounds neat. Tremendous by Megavive.
Tremendous.
Tremendous. Sure. A huge treehouse is
the hence build. The name.
And yeah. Was that the picture that you were sharing with that's on their homepage?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. So find those all over at Minecraft.net.
Yep, and that was all the news for Minecraft and the 77th. Okay, so now we get to have the fun conversation about UHC, or as it's actually known, Ultimate Hardcore Mode. In addition to the voices you've already heard, we have a couple different people here, both in the Peanut Gallery as well as live in audio. Yo-mate's here, Jericho Jack is here, we have Secondhand PN in the Tex Peanut Room here. But what exactly is UHC, Jig?
Oh, me? completely unprepared. I got it. Means you hardcore means one life, right? Right. This feature, and that's kind of a feature only on Java. However, you know, you there's ways to kind of implement that on a realm.
Yeah. Yes, which we've done.
There's some standards like no natural regeneration and one life again. There's probably other things out there that Spike or Taze know more about.
Yes, so
I just know the tournament play.
Gotcha. Yeah, originally it was actually created by the Minecraft community over in Java before it was introduced into Java itself. It was a mod which allowed you to basically have one life, and that was it. And then they integrated it in, and then they had UHC, which is not only one life, but you don't get any regen. So, yeah, it gets very tricky.
I think there's other things out there. Like, I think they edit some loot pools for things. Like, I think for trees, every tree can drop apples.
Well, that's for different variations, and we'll get into that specifically. But at its most basic, it's literally just a UHC map is one where you get one life, and you don't automatically heal, aka, you know, real life.
Natural generation.
Yes, yes. Both me and Jake were in Minecraft Generation, which was a UHC map. It wasn't a PvP map. It was a standard world, which we'll get to the different types here in a bit. But yes, and Yo Mate was also, and, yes.
And Miss Grumpy Cat.
Miss Grumpy Cat was as well, yep.
I very much miss that series, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get into the different types here in a bit. But there are some common variations that is allowed when you're doing this sort of stuff. So, there is the standard variation, which is literally you have the world, you play the game, you try to do it without getting killed. And that's it. You know, go get the Ender Dragon, raid an End City, finish the game, but with the limitation that you can't actually die without, you know, well,
you die. Survive.
You die. It's over. Yeah, exactly. Another option, as everyone was referring to here just a little while ago, is generational series. So basically, there's a set amount of people in the world. And once you die, someone else takes over. The original ones were generated, I want to say back in 2012, something along those lines. It was a one person realm on a thumbstick. And once that world was over, you gave that thumbstick to someone else. They played it. Once they died, they gave it to someone else, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which was kind of neat. The variation that I played in along with Yo Mate and Jig and Miss Grumpy Cat was a two-person realm. Yeah, okay. Poor Evie. Poor Evie got smothered in a block by Evie's horse. So the nice thing with those sort of generational realm is it's not quite as lonely, but it pertains to the single life, no regen model. Then you get what's more common in the current UHC world, which is battle maps, your PvP battles. You can either do this in single player against every other single player. You can do it in teams. There are some really complicated maps I've seen. Hermitcraft has done a bunch of them. And you can get really, really fancy.
A lot of Hunger Games style is what I've seen a lot of.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So I think a while back I was watching the UHC series, which is just females. Female Minecraft YouTuber.
Huh. Interesting.
That's pretty good.
And then last is the creative build. So this is sort of like the standard variation, except the goal is to build something. You know, whether it be the best house, it's a standard competition setup. The only problem is, whereas normally you don't care about, you know, fall damage and other things along those lines, as soon as you have UHC into it, it gets very dangerous very quickly, and you don't want to die because it's very, very helpful to not
less risks.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what ends up happening, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But you're surprised how cautious you end up getting once you're in a UHC.
Cautious?
Yeah, cautious.
Nerves on end? Nah.
Yeah.
Is that a hole? Interesting. Die.
Yeah, or, hey, am I being smothered? Die.
Hey, that was lag in my defense.
That is true. That is very true. Okay, so there is also some variations even on top of that. So in some of the maps, you're allowed potions to heal. Some you're allowed golden apples, some you're not. And it's going to vary from realm to realm. So if you find a UHC world that you want to join, definitely make sure you read what the requirements are for that world, because it's going to depend on what they actually have. Even on Generations, I had a whole thing that I was setting up that over time you would start to take damage if just because you aged. But yeah, so definitely check that out. Jericho Jack even included, there's a whole UHC Bedrock map downloaded. In fact, you know, I will include that link in the show notes. Just put that there for now.
That's one of many. I'm trying to find the others. That map maker, I've used several of his maps. I was trying to do a series on his Skyblock maps, but I was having difficulties. He's a Win 10 maker, and some of his maps don't translate well into Pocket, just because he likes to use a lot of particle effects.
So it gets really laggy.
Yeah, if you're using just cell phones and stuff like that, it gets real laggy. But he's got a lot of different UHC style maps. I'm trying to find the other one right now, but there's a lot of different people make UHC style maps. I'm trying to find a couple of different ones to include in the show notes.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely add them there for everyone to check out.
Kind of on the One Life topic, I think there was a Fortnite map someone had at some point.
Well, I don't know if that really is the same thing. So we were playing a Fortnite map game, but it was literally just a PvP battle.
Yeah.
It wasn't really you had one life. It was you restarted in the battle over and over and over again. Yeah, battle royale. Yes. Thank you, Second Ampion. That was really a battle royale map, not just a UHC map.
You could probably make that, and you could probably use it as a UHC, though.
Yes, but the whole thing with UHC would be you get to play it once.
Yep.
Whereas that map was very specifically made so you could battle over and over and over and over, and over again. Typically, your larger UHC maps, especially in Java, I've seen UHCs where there's 130, 200 players. Usually very laggy at the beginning with that many people on the server. But as it slowly whittles out, it gets very, very interesting. So for us over on the 77th, we sort of have to figure out which of these appeal to us. Generational probably doesn't make sense just because it severely limits the amount of people who can play.
Because we're considering this for an event for us.
Yeah, so we're using us as a guinea pig, an example of how to sort of plan UHC, how we go about making it, and going from there. So now there's a couple different ways you can do. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so not generational, probably not standard, because, well, we have a standard realm for that, right?
Well, yeah, but it would just be one life standard. So it'd be a little bit different.
It would, but most people, I think, are going to put their effort into the main realm, not into a UHC event.
Yeah.
So that's another thing with a lot of UHCs. They typically only last a couple hours for the battles and the creative contest and such. So we can't really have a world that's forever and ever and ever, because we have a world that's forever
and ever.
Yeah. Okay, so that leaves PvP battles, either in pairs or single player, or a creative contest where everyone starts off in there and, you have to either, you know, build a certain thing or get the most resources. Spike, didn't we do a realm battle? Not a UHC, but a battle. This must have been a year ago where we were trying to find who can get the most diamonds in an hour or something like that.
Oh, yeah, we had a who can get a stack of diamonds the fastest or. Yeah, we did. I can't remember quite what. Yeah, I think we just all, you entered the realm at a certain time and you had, it was survival and you had nothing and who can get a diamond block the fastest. I forget.
Oh, like a rush?
Yeah.
So we all just scramble, like, do you try to find food first? Do you try to get wood first? Like, what do you do? Like, do you try to get looting, like, not looting three, do you try to get fortune three pick or do you just mine like crazy? Like, you know, what's your strategy to try to get the most diamonds the fastest?
Yeah, and that wasn't a UHC, so if you died, you respawn to the beginning, and you try to go get your stuff back, and we didn't have any battling or killing each other there. And that's another thing. Some of these creative contest builds, even if they are, you know, who can get the most of whatever it is, you oftentimes will still find that battling is okay. So that would also be an additional thing to worry about. But yeah, UHC would have made that battle a lot harder.
Yeah. I would like to see some of the people on our realm get a little cutthroat, just out of curiosity, just to see how it works out.
Good God.
Well, I mean, we could technically, you know, why don't we go about this two ways? Why don't we here on the podcast plan a PvP battle style? And then also plan a goal-based UHC. Because I know there's a lot of us that love PvP and would like to try it out. And then I know there's a lot of players who want nothing to do with PvP.
Right, they wouldn't even try.
Exactly.
They wouldn't play.
And granted, we already are limited. As Secondhand was saying in the chat here, there's a player limit. You know, we can only have 10 players on at the same time. 11 if you count the owner that comes on after everyone else. So,
they need to handle that better too.
Yeah, it would.
You can only
You can bump it up a little bit.
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Programs.
What?
Someone coughed. Programs.
Hashtag programs.
Programs would be lovely. Yes.
Never-ending conversation.
Okay, so
I don't think you ever sidebar that you ever posted the Pro Realm link in band.
Oh, did I not?
I don't think. Anyway, sorry.
Okay, yeah, I have. There's a feedback about Pro Realms. Pay a little extra for more features because, as Realm operators, we really could use it.
Things often forgot about while playing UHC. Fall damage.
We'll get to the tips and trips. Yeah, tips and tricks. Golly gee, where is my cocktail that I'm enjoying this?
Where's your tongue tiedness?
Yeah. Okay. So let's start off with the goal based one, just because that's probably going to be the most straightforward and simplest of the options. So the first thing when you're creating a UHC world on Bedrock is you have to have a function that will. Whoa, everything okay? Okay. So you need. There's some really weird noise all of a sudden. I think it was over in Jig's, the Pokemon Center. They brought in a Flareon or something. So the first thing is you need to have it when people die that their spawn point is automatically reset. Now, the way that I did it, and if anyone else has other options, definitely let me know. But the way I did it was I did a command block that just every, you know, 2 minutes or so or something along those lines would set everyone's spawn point to some bedrock underneath the build. So if you died, you spawned in a little obsidian cube. And that's where you're at. And you're done. Does anyone else know any other ways to do the one life function?
No, that's how we did it in a different realm I was. It was an obsidian cage. Same concept. Or no, a bedrock cage. Same concept. It just, that's where everyone went.
Yeah, and you have to have it constantly do it for two reasons. So you don't want to set the spawn point there, because that means anyone that joins the realm automatically will spawn in the obsidian dungeon. Although I'll get to one thing in a moment here that might fix that problem. The other is, every time someone sets a bed, they're going to reset their spawn and they're going to end up, you know, I mean, you can tell people not to use beds, but let's be honest, it's so easy.
Yeah, there's no regen and you kind of want to avoid the mobs.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to see the die signal, you know, so I mean, it's a kind of obvious, but, you know, that at least bypasses, you know, people can use beds. It doesn't set their spawn.
Now, with that, real quick, are we getting buffet worlds with the next update?
No, it's unfortunately just Java.
Okay, so we can't do like a world based off of like end dynamics, where if you use a bed, you explode and die.
No, okay. We wouldn't.
Well, that would be fun.
Well, the thing is, you still might want to. Well, I guess there would no, if you have multiple people, everyone would have to sleep at the same time. So, and that wouldn't really be an issue.
There's a strategic advantage to not want to sleep, because you want your foes to fight mobs.
True. But
there'd probably be no skip day, honestly.
Yeah, Jake, you're really cutting out there. Yeah, but I think you were saying you wouldn't want to skip the day typically in these sort of things, because you would lose time. So
that, and it adds to the challenge.
Yes, definitely adds to the challenge.
Yeah, we want entertainment, not pussyfooting around beds.
Really. Then again, it'd be kind of disappointing at the same time.
Yeah,
it's if not everyone died on day one.
True. Although it would be a very interesting, quick sort of thing.
I think people do grace periods.
Yes, it's called the gentleman's role. So typically, this typically applies to battle stuff, but really it could be anything. There's usually one full day. So that's one day, one night, where no one can attack another player. So if, you know, you find someone, you can't hit them, you have to just let them go, do their thing within the first day. So the first 20 minutes of the game, everyone's safe, at least from other players. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, in another one that I've done a UHC in, we mm-hmm. used, command blocks with like hopper timers. We told people not to use beds and sleep through the night because it would screw up the clocks. And we used the command timers to transport people when it got time to the end to the battle arena for the final battle, for the final showdown. So it transported everybody at like, I think it was like the fourth night cycle or the fifth night cycle. It transported everyone into the final battle, because we didn't want it to drag on for hours and hours and hours. So,
yeah, and
you know, by the fourth or fifth cycle, everyone got to the main showdown at the Thunderdome. So, you know, beds kind of screw that up.
Gotcha. It also, I guess that could work in goal based ones as well. So if you're trying to get as many diamonds, you know, or however much gold or whatever, my precious jewels. We can do it as an ABBA contest. Is anyone familiar with the ABBA stuff? ABBA caving?
I am.
Yeah, it's fun.
So maybe we can do a UHC with ABBA.
So you dive rules. Into a cave and all the ores are kind of given different values.
Right. So we could implement Jack's hopper clock thing. And sleeping through the night wouldn't matter anyway, because everyone would have to sleep at the same time, which just is not going to happen. Especially if people are underground getting resources. If everyone knows what it is ahead of time, you know, iron ore is worth so much, you know, lapis and all that sort of stuff are all given different values. We could then use the hopper to move everyone in, which also means if you can use things like chests and such, but if you don't have the items on you when the time limit's up, you're out of luck. Mm-hmm. You know, you get transported to the final countdown arena, and whatever you have, you have, and that's it. Does that sound good as a goal for the creative based or the this more survival-y, not attacky PvP version?
I've always wanted to try it.
You could also use like the vending style redstone contraptions. You know, you put in, you know, X amount of, let's say, lapis, and it could spit out X amount of, let's say, diamond in return, and that would be your point-based system.
True. Okay. Well, we can figure out the exact redstone, but it sounds like that's what we're going to end up doing for... hey, it's a cat. It's a grumpy cat. Wizard is never late. Nope. Okay. So that's the simple one. Now we'll get into the more complicated PvP UHC. Now there's lots of different neat things you can do with this. Now, we already sort of touched on the gentleman's rule, and I would say any good UHC probably includes gentleman's rule, because you don't want to, you know, have people get killed up. Gentleman's rule.
Oh, where you don't fight for the first
day. Yep.
Now, and if you die somehow, I think sometimes you get to come back. Depends on the.
Yeah, it depends on the rules of realm. I would say
I've heard of false starts.
Yeah. Do we want to do a false start option if you die within the first 20 minutes?
Depends on the circumstances, I would think. Like, if you go in and you're blown up by a creeper, head on a swivel, you screwed up. Like,
If you hop on a horse and suffocate.
Yeah, if you're lagged out. Like, if
Jake ever does that.
Tragic. Yeah, if something tragic happens, if there's, you know, a command block error and you... like something like tragic happens, like maybe you could get one depending on the circumstances, but like
do over.
Yeah, you circumstantially, yes, but like if you just screwed up and you got ate by a zombie, nah.
Got gangbanged by like 14 skeletons. You'd be fine.
Get good, mate.
Okay, so it sounds like gentleman's rule with false start if things actually happen pending. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, yeah, that was a cheap sort of thing. Let's restart and start over. Now, the other thing that oftentimes will happen at the beginning of a UHC is using the random spread command. Now, anyone familiar with that?
Is that where everyone's spread out at random?
Yes.
It puts everyone at a random coordinates, right?
Yep. So you basically...
Can you limit it to be within certain, like, so that someone's not at like 10,000 blocks away?
Yep. So you put in the area, so beginning coordinates, end coordinates, and it will spread the people out fairly evenly amongst those spots. So that way everyone is at a good distance from everyone else. And also, you're not on top of each other, at least not to begin with. And that's usually a good way to start these sort of things. So that way, everyone sort of has a fair shot, and you know, you might get a better spot than someone else, but there's no advantage. Yeah, it's random. You know, you might get a really crud spot, you might really get a really good spot. So,
another thing, teams or solo?
Yes. Now, I don't know. So, I would say we probably want to do solo. Only because of the limitations with realms.
Okay.
Because we only can have 10 players.
We could start with solo.
Well, I'm not...
It would depend on how many people are in. Like...
True. But yeah, as secondhand was mentioning, five teams is kind of a small amount of teams. Especially and considering we're just sort of starting out.
I mean, 10 is kind of small too, though. If we're being
honest. Yeah. Fun, but, you know, we only have, what is it, 47 members currently. And wow, we're at 47? Really? Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if a fourth, no, if a fifth of our members wanted to do this, we would be maxed out.
We'd have to do more than one.
Yeah, we would do a few.
We had more people who wanted to do it.
Well, keep in mind, these things oftentimes will go for 2-3 hours at a time.
No, yeah, we can have a few events.
Both types.
Well, yeah, depending on like the times of people, we could have scheduled at different times. So, because people might not be able to make it to the people over here in the West Coast.
True. Secondhand was mentioning maybe do a bracket system if more wanted to join. So you have round A, round B, and then sort of work it from there.
The likelihood that you're going to get more than 4 or 5 people that are going to want to join at the same time is slim anyway. So
true.
Yeah. I mean,
just limit the rounds to like an hour and just keep the command block system, you know, timed to, let's say, an hour and a half. Just, you know, keep them quick.
True. So
I mean, you probably have a command that says something in chat like first day is over.
Yeah, that's easy to
totally
do.
You can totally announce,
and then everyone has to start heading towards a certain coordinate at a certain time after a certain day. And then whoever's not within, I'm not sure if you can you check if someone's in a certain radius of something with commands.
Will the locate player work?
Kinda. It's a little complicated, but I think you can.
You can use the scatter. I don't remember the exact name of the command, but the basically the shuffle players or the scatter randomly to bring them closer. It's kind of like the bringing the world border in, like they do on the Java version, but just do it, you know, every, you know, cycle and just bring them closer and closer and closer and closer until you get to that final battle.
Yeah, but I guess what I was more interesting is like, could you pick who you scatter?
Not easily, no.
Be everyone.
Yeah, you'd want to do like, all. You wouldn't want to like pick.
Yeah,
it's not like Game Master in the Hunger Games where you're gonna pick, you know, let's bring Katniss and you know, what's his name from District 4 together and try to see what happens.
No, we're not. No, Katniss, Grumpy Cat, Katniss. Yeah. Well, I think we should probably aim low to begin with. I mean, we've all seen, well, maybe not all seen, but a lot of us have seen the UHCs, and we'd love to be able to do that sort of stuff for us, but we're not there yet. We're not quite there.
We'll never know till we try.
Yes, but
scattering the players isn't a hard command. You can do that. You can cycle that on a clock relatively easy.
Sure, and that's one of the limitations that we have, unfortunately. We don't have the barrier option, which would be so nice, Mojang. Please give us the barrier. I know we're getting barrier blocks here in a bit, but
I want.
You could still use commands to make a wall. You just need to know the radius you want to use.
It's not as easy as you think. Because the thing is, those chunks have to be active in order for the command to work. So you'd have to have everyone out in those borders and have them active.
That'd probably, and it'd be laggy too on that.
You've played on Barrier Worlds before, Kat? Jack, Kat's saying that you guys have played on a Barrier World in Pocket Edition?
Yes, but it was, I think that was done by Toolbox.
Oh, third-party tools. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've been looking, and I was so happy when we got barrier blocks in the current beta, but no barrier walls in place.
Okay. We could always do a dome and then do a adventure mode outside the dome so you can't break it.
The problem we always have is the more and more, anytime you try to shrink that circle, you have to have all of the chunks active, and you can't do that in Pocket Edition. It's just not possible.
Yeah, that's true.
Because commands will only work.
A certain point would work.
Yeah, I mean, you can teleport out to an area. Actually, can you teleport into an inactive area? I think you can. But you
do it all the time, and when you're on your own world, you can teleport wherever you want.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So teleporting out works. It's creating new blocks in areas that don't actually exist. That's the issue.
Wait a minute. If you have a area chunk loaded, and that is creating where those new places is, would that not work?
Nope. The destination for those blocks have to already be active. Yeah.
By active, you mean loaded?
Yes, the chunk has to be loaded.
So then how can you teleport in to a place that's unloaded?
Because you are moving your person into a chunk and activating the chunk.
Yeah, it puts you there and then it loads around you.
Yep. Whereas if you try to create a block in that area, the chunk never gets loaded.
Huh.
Yeah, it's unfortunately a limitation that we have.
I've never tried that, so I'm kind of
interested have.
Now. What is the limitation on the ticking areas?
10? Yeah, I think it's... it's 10 chunks.
Areas that are 100 by 100?
No, 10 chunks, yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
So, 160 by 160. Not big enough.
Well, what if you didn't fill in the center and just try to do a ring of active chunks?
Well, no, because you'd have to leave the ticking areas for where the command blocks and things are. Because you'd want the command blocks loaded all the time. So you'd have to save.
If we were to do a wall of some sort, would
it... You guys are trying to get a wall to work, and I've spent months trying to figure that out, and it just can't be done.
So now I'm going to do it just because you said it can be done.
Get on it.
I am 100% tempted to do that one.
If you guys can get a, you know, 1,000 by 1,000 border slowly shrinking in, more at you. But I have not been able to do that. Because anything smaller is just too small for a UHC.
4 hours later, Tazel, here's a link to my world that's like, what?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all. If you guys can get it working, more power to you.
Yeah, I believe you. Like, you know, I'm just curious to try it myself, too.
Yeah, go right ahead. I mean, I'm definitely not the arbiter of all things command blocks and in Minecraft. As the monkey says, I'm a half decent player.
I think the word you're winning for is semi decent.
Semi decent. Yeah, semi decent. Okay, so we need to work out some of the specifics, but it sounds like gentleman rules, do the scatter, and then we need to set some sort of time limit where eventually, if people haven't killed everyone off, they all get moved into some central arena and where we fight to the bitter end.
7 or 8 Minecraft days, probably.
What about 77?
That's a lot of days.
That is a lot of days. 77 Minecraft hours. How many days is that?
77 minutes.
No, we 77. Could. 77 minutes, yeah, that's one. Or the other one would be 7 11-minute sessions.
I don't know about that.
11 7-day event, 7-day UHC.
7 minutes makes sense.
11, a what? 77 minutes?
No,
makes sense.
That's over. Like that's just barely.
7-day UHCs.
7 minutes is not even all day.
Yeah, Secondhand was suggesting 770 minutes, which is basically 13 days.
3 hours.
It's 13 days, really?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's 13 hours.
So what?
Which, wait, 13 hours, there are... that would be 30... That would be... Yeah, okay.
Just say no.
That's, maybe not. That's 39 Minecraft days.
That might be a while.
A little bit wider, yeah. You know, we'll figure this out later. Just to move this along here a little bit. So some tips and tricks. Jake, do you want to read some of these tips? Okay, well, I'll start off then. There's two basic ways you can go about playing the UHCs. You can either go the safe route, or you can go the heal route. Now, I'm assuming we're going to allow things like golden apples, and if you are crazy enough to go into the nether to get some blaze rods to make potions... we're gonna allow that.
Yeah,
it
sounds fine. Okay, so yeah,
just
so
I mean, not go too far in the nether, maybe.
You are we gonna allow looting of stuff?
Well, I would assume.
Yeah, if you stumble across
so.
Your opponent's base, you can take their stuff.
Well, no, I was referring to like naturally generated places because.
Well, of course, that's allowed.
Well, here's treasure maps. So if someone is scattered into an ocean biome and they find a treasure chests have a guaranteed potion of regeneration.
No, they don't.
Everyone I've looted had a potion of regen.
Oh, I haven't found that many.
But do you really want to spend
never found a
2 hours?
I've never
really?
Found
really
one either.
Spend 2 hours in
digging up.
It'd be quite the strategy, but do you really want to spend time?
You know, if you find an end city with an end, you know, pirate ship, they have healing potions in them as well.
That is like two so many hours into a game, though. Like that's no one's gonna.
It's 13-hour one, hours. Right?
Yeah, 13 hours. We'll be able to do it.
Yeah, but that's way too dangerous. 15 hours? What?
I don't know if in 15 hours on a UHC I would be able to defeat the Ender Dragon.
Yeah, exactly. The Ender Dragon. That's
maybe not single.
I mean, you could run away, I guess.
Quite the team effort.
Flee from the Ender Dragon and just pillar out to the Isles, I guess.
True. It wouldn't follow you.
Slime machine to fly over.
Now you got to find a slime chunk.
And now you gotta hope you don't lag off.
That's another.
Find one pretty easy.
Are we gonna have coordinates turned on?
UHC, honestly, I say no.
Oh,
I would say no.
I mean,
I would say
scatter would still work.
If we're TPing everyone to the end area, then yes. But if everyone needs to manually go to a certain area, maybe not. Unless you gave everyone a compass at the beginning.
Well, it would also be easy enough to... Well,
You can get a compass pretty easy. I mean, if you're mining, it's not a big deal.
Oh, that would be...
I'm just trying to make sure everyone gets one.
If you're being teleported into certain locations via command blocks, I would think coordinates being on I wouldn't want, I don't know, it just depends.
Well,
I wouldn't want people knowing where they're going
also
in certain situations.
If we do like a world, a border, like a border that we just have to go by ourselves, if we like made our own border, like we did a 1,000 block radius or probably from a place, from a coordinate, you can only go 1,000 out from that. Well, then you would need cords for that to know if you're out of bounds.
True.
Yeah, I mean, we could create a giant bedrock border all the way around the playable area, so you can't escape from that, regardless if we do the, you know, teleporting at the end. I mean, another thing we could do
just
would be
avoid the end of the map.
Well,
so if you get to the end, you just fall right off.
That as well. But I was thinking you could make it so the area is exactly the max version of a map. Yes, so exactly. Second MP on
2048.
Yep. So you can make it
go off the map.
Well, no. You just make a
max zoom map.
Yeah, and that would also tell you where everyone is.
Yeah.
It wouldn't tell you who everyone is. It would just, you know, say, oh, there's a dot over here.
The first thing I would do would throw my map away.
You don't have to have a map on you.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a map on you.
So knowing how to hide yourself on a map is valuable asset.
Go ahead.
Is there a way to hide game tags other than crouching?
No.
Like if I was playing a PvP, I wouldn't want my game tag to be seen.
Correct.
Like, is there a way to turn it off?
No.
Is there a way to turn it off?
No, you can turn your own off, but that only affects you. Other people can still see your name tag.
Oh, I thought there was a setting to turn off game tags.
Yeah,
but that hides other people's game tags from you.
No, but that's kind of what you'd want. You don't want people like...
No.
I will take that handicap so that people can't see my game tag.
But that's what we're trying to say. No matter what you do, everyone can then see your name tag.
Yeah. Just won't be able to see ours.
Everyone would have to checkbox that check.
Oh, I see. It's not a. It's not the world that's affected per player.
Yep.
No, that's that. Yeah, that makes it so that would be like you check that box, and then when you take screenshots, no one's name's in the screenshot.
Okay.
Did they change that recently?
I've never tried it. I don't know how it works.
So,
oh, I could have sworn before you could. It was world option based.
I believe there is an option that you can do, or there is a
MVT tag.
There's a thing. Not a resource pack, but what is it called when you do it?
Texture pack.
No.
Behavior pack.
Behavior. Pack. You can do it for the world, where it takes a name tag off of everyone. Because I played on an Anarchy version where it was not the... It wasn't an infinite. It was the uber small, the old school version, where it's like super small. There was like 10 of us in this extra small map, and it was Anarchy, so you get to cheat and kill everybody. It was really fun. But everyone was super mad because it was back in the day where you could just put two hoppers together and like dupe everything. Yeah, everyone was really mad when I came out with like double diamond armor in like 5 minutes.
The good days.
Okay, but I would say name tags on, because that would be part of the just part of the game. I mean, if you want to sneak, that's fine, but obviously you're moving a lot slower.
Right.
So, okay, so just to sort of wrap this up here, because we, believe it or not, been talking for almost 40 minutes, 40 minutes plus about this. Some things to be aware of when you are playing UHT that a lot of people tend to forget about. fall damage. Now, I'm not talking, oh, here's a giant cliff, let me jump off of it. I'm talking this about jumping off
bitty
hill. Yes. Yes, as Miss Grumpy Cat. He's like, oh my, OMG, fall damage.
Steps, not just anything. It's the simplest of steps, even.
I never took any fall damage on Generation.
No, never.
What are you talking about?
No. But yeah, those all those little half hearts really quickly fill up, so you gotta be quite careful. You know, running and jumping off of your hills and such. Ender pearls. Ender pearls. Not the spiders. Yep, we'll get to that in a second here. Ender pearls, every time you use one, it's a half a heart. So yeah, you might get one and it can get you to really unique places to that other players can't get to necessarily, or get you away from other players very quickly. But again, half a heart of damage is a half heart of damage. That you sort of have to deal with.
Backs up pretty quickly.
Yes, indeed.
They did more than half a heart.
No. It's just, well, if you get an endermite, then you can get a lot more. But yeah, it's only half a heart of damage.
Or if you hit a wall and then fall down the wall.
If you hit a wall.
Yes. it's the stuff that happens afterwards that start having issues. Also, if you are in teams, splash potions are a great way to get a lot more out of a single potion if possible. Friendly fire. Again, with teams, you might be pointing at, say, a structure with your bow and accidentally shoot the bow off and light your partner on fire. Might have flame on it.
Always have a water bucket with you.
Yes. That's actually one of the tips further down. Be careful, because any sort of damage, even hitting a person with your hand, can cause you damage. You know, the smallest amount of damage in normal game quickly add up.
Poison
and Lammas spit.
Yeah. Oh, does Lammas spit actually hurt you?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay, so watch out for llama spit. It hurts.
Watch out for the llamas. Dolphins are evil.
If you hit a dolphin, they will gang up on you and kill you as quickly as possible. Good golly, can they hurt you really quick.
They deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, oh, here's this dolphin. It's stuck on land. Let me hit it so it bounces back in water. And now all of a sudden the dolphins are out to kill you.
Can't leave the land.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a nice block you're placing there. Wouldn't mind me. Don't mind me. I'm just going to get in your way and make you hit me and then blame you for me being stupid.
Yep. Mine shafts are incredibly deadly. A single cave spider or all those dark little crevices, even when you're caving, can be quite deadly. Oh, right. Pufferfish. We have to watch out for pufferfish now, too, because they'll poison you and poison not so good. Cave spiders not so good either.
Are they the same length though? The poison effect?
They might be. They're non-deadly poison, so I don't think it'll kill you, but it'll bring you down to half a heart.
Poison always takes you to a half a heart.
But it won't kill you.
Isn't there an option to turn it to so that it will kill you?
No.
That it will?
No, because it's a different type of poison. Cave spiders don't have poison. Dead poison.
Only takes you to a half a heart.
No, there's different types of poison.
It's the same as getting hit by that potion from the witch. It'll always hit you to half a heart.
But there is a poison variant that will kill you.
Where is it? Cave spiders kill you,
No, usually it's their physical damage that ends up killing you, not the poison. The poison just brings you down.
Yeah, poison just brings you down to half a heart. I don't think there's a deadly poison that actually kills you, unless there's a mode that does that.
There is a version of poison that will kill you. I programmed it into the command blocks and Generations.
A natural poison that has not been added to the game.
I think one of
poison mechanics.
Poison potions. No.
Nope.
Well, I know
poison
there's.
Just takes your health faster.
I know there is a command that of a type of poison that will kill you. but
it's a command though. I'm talking about like that you'll encounter on a UHC.
Yes.
Unless you modify the mobs.
True.
Hey, we're an hour in.
Yeah, we are. okay, so some helpful hints. Okay, there is no natural health regeneration, so try to avoid any sort of damages, even touching cactuses. You know, or not so. You don't want to die from hitting a cactus. That's just not smart. You want to be really quick with getting your resources, because taking damage is much more dangerous. So you want to be protected if possible. Find ingredients to make golden apples, potion of healing, or a potion of regeneration as quick as possible, as these are some of the very few ways to regenerate. Remember hunger. Typically, UHCs are played in hard mode, not normal mode. So hunger will actually add up pretty quickly and can indeed kill you. And you don't want to be that player that dies from hunger, because that's just sad.
Who wants to vote on who we think that may be?
Keep a water bucket on your hopper at all times. Falling and fire damage can be minimized by a water bucket. So, yeah, lava. That's important. Yep, lava. And then some standard PvP tips. Great way to check any players in your vicinity is to trap yourself in a little area and make it dark so you can see those white name tags a lot easier. You definitely, again, want to make sure golden apples are your priority so you can make those golden apples. While you're waiting for items to smelt in the furnace, a lot of times the different UHCs will grind gravel in order to get, you know, stuff for arrows, because hitting people from a far distance is much more preferred to, you know, getting up close if you can.
All the other people have fighting chance. I want to win.
Exactly.
Deadly sniper is more valuable than 100 soldiers.
You also might want to check out some other Twitch or YouTube streams that do UHCs just to get sort of feel, especially in those PvP battles. And something that a lot of people don't consider: go to the bathroom beforehand. Make sure you have your food and stuff, because you don't want to be that player that's just standing in the middle of the field going, "Oh, I'll be right back, guys," and then get killed.
Why would I be in the field? What?
Well, you definitely don't want to be the one in the middle of the field, but you also don't want to just be standing someplace and someone come across and you're like, "Hi there." Kill, kill, kill. Because you had to go to the bathroom.
You should totally crouch. What are you talking about?
You still can be found.
God.
So, yeah. Yeah. Although there are some players, some realms in UHC battles that have battles against that, it's still something that you probably should try to avoid if possible. But I think that's
good. Are we gonna have experimental on?
We could. That means we would get drowned and turtles and some other things. Tridents. Yep. We could have tridents. In fact, again, by the time we do this, it just may be part of the game. Although if we have experimental on, that might also mean that we get phantoms, which, if we're not sleeping, could be quite dangerous.
Excellent.
Yep. Lots of things.
Okay. Everyone dies.
So, at first, when I thought, when they were implementing the Phantom, I thought it was going to be, like, if you haven't slept over a certain amount of days, they would attack you.
Correct. But now, 3 days.
Doesn't it seem like they're going to attack you? They just attack you if you're out at night?
No.
From what I've seen?
You have to be awake for 3 days.
So, are we going to have a bar to see what our sleep deprivation is?
I don't think so. You're going to have to keep track of how long you've been awake.
They're hostile mobs, though, right?
So wait, are there going to be like some random ass phantoms just flying around? And you're going to be like, wait, are they after me? No? No? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much, yes. Wait. They'll spawn over.
Are they after me now? No?
Okay. Yeah. And they burn up during the day, so. Yeah. Okay, so for those here on the voice chat,
for someone else, can they then attack you if you freshly slept? Wait, how does that work?
They're basically neutral mobs, just like wolves. For instance, if you can be next to a wolf, and not attack you, but have it attack someone else if they got hit by it. That's how the neutral mobs become hostile.
Who's yawning?
Someone's sleepy. You know what? But we'll take that as a goal here. Okay, everyone starting the list down with Jig, and then to Spikebeer, then Jack, then Yomate. What's your final word on and thoughts on UHC in general?
Yay!
Very concise. Okay.
Okay. I've never actually.
Who's next?
Yeah, who's next?
Stab, murder, murder.
Yeah, I've never actually played it, so I'm kind of looking forward to trying any type of, depending, you know, whether it's goal based or.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Jack?
I have only played the murder based, so any other form I'm super excited to play. So, yeah, let's do this.
Yomi?
Let's do it.
Super excited to play the PvP version, but I'm also open to other ideas. Okay. It'd be fun to have a giant PvP tournament type style thing.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to that too, so I can see how quickly I end up being killed, either in the PvP by the other players or by
yourself.
That Ms. Grumpy Cat says I think they're fun but can be stressful. I want to do a find of one of every kind of item type of map. That could be interesting. Oh, yeah, too.
I'd like to do that too.
Okay, but I think that's where we're going to end it. Again, thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Jig and Spike, for reading the news with me here earlier. And thank you, Jack and Yomate, for joining in on this conversation. And, of course, Grumpy Cat and Secondhand Peon down there in the Peanut Gallery. Big thank you for you guys for listening. Again, if you are interested, you can leave a review over on our iTunes page, or, of course, subscribe on Feedburner or over on iTunes. For those not already part of the 77th Combine, but want to learn more, please check out our website at the77thcombine.com for more stories, pictures, where to watch us, and all our past season content. Our account on Twitter is 77thcombine. You can also find us in the Minecraft Multiplayer Discord group or over on our official YouTube channel. If you need to get in touch with us, our contact email address is 77thcombineops@gmail.com. We record this live on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, and it is open to any member here on the 77th Combine. For everyone listening live, we'll be continuing on to the 77th After Dark voice chat. Thanks for listening, and happy crafting.